Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on once again with Tom Phillips. The finals of the 2023 Supercoach season are underway. Chizo J. Bean Pistol, want to say thanks for the great year. Cheers. Good flip.
And a big thanks to our greatest fan, Tom Phillips. I really appreciate that, mate. Pistol, very exciting to have the GOAT himself introing the round 21 catch up, recap, everything cap. It's exciting times. We got a lot of news and not much of it is Supercoach this week.
I mean, there's a lot surrounding the Dacos news. I guess that's a big thing. But how cool is it, the opening? Well played, Chizo. Was very excited to hear Tom do our introduction for this week.
Introduction, I like how you split that. Is that like athlete, the AFL was, players are athletes?
It was my brain working slowly on, I'm going to say intro, and then when I'm like halfway through the word, I'm like, intro, now I got to finish the rest of the sentence, duction.
Dr. Supercoach, once again, powered by our lovely partners at Code Sports. Go check out our round 21 article that is up now as of Wednesday. Pistol, we do have a few bits of news in terms of Cancer Council donations, mate. I'll let you jump straight on that. Nothing on the Patreon aspect yet.
We have the Dirty Snitches has delivered once again. He says, a game day bet with Butler securing a Carlton victory. $26 to Butler is a great man, and Riewoldt is his favourite saint. $12 to Paddy Dow to have my children. That's quite cheap. And $2 being at Slack Chup 2000. Oh, wait, I've read that wrong. $2 being at the Slack Chup and... Oh, no. It was just Paddy Dow to have my children, $2. Look, the way that this is formatted, Chizo, is... I think I've ruined the entire thing because the formatting is terrible. So it's hard to tell where one sentence starts and one doesn't when there's no full stops. Being at the Slack Chup 2023, priceless. Thank you for your donation. We got there in the end. It's the Slack Chup was awesome. Chizo, we all flew down from our various states and JB to meet up with, well, as many patrons would turn up to come and meet us, I guess. How did you find that? Any surprises on the day?
Look, there was definitely a best on, but I think that's going to be kept for a Patreon-only episode. The one thing I will say, Pistol, is like the man with the card paying for the tab, I get the receipt at the end of the day. Now, there was supposed to be beer and wine on there. Can someone explain to me the person that at one point in time bought 10 Canadian clubs all in one go?
That's the man who knows how to... when someone knows how to party. He's like, it's open, all right.
It's certainly open. Wait, were they even at the... Maybe we just had some people that were capitalising, just walking through and pretending to be part of the matchup, the catch-up. I think we had, maybe 75 people there?
Yeah, it was a great turnout. It was
it was huge.
Such a pleasure.
I was overwhelmed, man.
It was... So last year, we probably had half as many, maybe 50 we peaked at, but it was completely different faces pretty much. I think not even 50% of the people that came the previous year came this year. So I'm hoping next year we just get everyone that's ever come to any of the events all in one go, 100 plus people having a good time watching the footy. We got to watch the Essendon West Coast game, which turned out to be a real fun game to watch as a group, and people going absolutely mad for Sicily, for Zaret, for Marek. It was just, it was great. What a day.
There was myself and Maz going for Essendon and literally 70 other people cheering when Marek took that mark. Like, I was at my own meetup and feeling like the odd man out, wanting to go slink away into the corner.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I said Sicily, but I mean the Collingwood game, which wasn't great after. So,
Oh, no, that was fantastic. Essendon winning, the slatch up. There was Collingwood losing, Port losing. It was literally, I couldn't have had a better day.
No, it was so great to meet all, I guess, familiar names but not familiar faces, and now putting them together was awesome. I really appreciate everyone that travelled as well. There was a lot of people that came from far out, like heaps of people travelled over an hour to get there, so it was very much appreciated. And I think we enjoyed meeting all of you as much as you enjoyed meeting us.
Yeah, well, I think that's... some people have more fun than others, but again, for the Patreon episode, Pistol, we do have some big news. Obviously, Dacos has now been ruled out for 6 weeks with that injury. As someone not flush with trades, I'm sort of just choosing between the two or three bench players that I can be using DPP. But it puts us in a very interesting situation for those that can potentially get Dacos up to someone like a Sicily. Looks like a pretty good move if you don't have him. But do you have any initial thoughts on what your plans for Dacos would be if you had some trades remaining?
Well, I got a question that I'm going to throw at you like immediately off the bat, because it will define my answers.
I am hosting this one, well, so like I hope you remember how things work.
That's okay. It'll define how my conversation goes from here. But
yeah, go.
I know not many people have two trades, but if you were in the fortunate position to have two trades, would and let's say you can't afford one of the big dogs, so you're trading out Dacos and you have, I don't know, 575, 80K, would you burn two trades instead to be able to get, I guess, anyone in the game, the 660K range, and be able to look at the Sicilies and the Liberatores, even the Clayton Olivers that might return this week? Would you be shopping around there, or would you just try and save that trade for an injury that might occur in the future and get someone who might potentially be a little bit worse? Is that, how would you play this?
It definitely depends on cover, I think, personally. So, like, if you're forced into a trade because you have no cover and you have to make a move, I think it's a one-trade situation.
Yeah.
Because you need that bailout, because we've seen with 3 weeks to go, there's still some more damage to come. However, I think if you've got some decent cover, let's say you've got, like, a Banks or something on the field, just for argument's sake, that you can get, or maybe a Marek, and you can use some DPPs and get some steady 50s on the field and 50s plus, I would be tempted to use both the remaining trades to try and get the high-scoring player possible. Maybe that is getting a Dacos up to a Sicily, for example, because he's going to be relatively unique for a lot of players that did trade him out. The most common trade this week so far is Dacos to Sicily as well. Yep. So we can't tell how many are double trades in those scenarios, but that's the sitting at the top of the coach's choice. So to sum it all up, I think it really depends on the overall structure of your team, the position that you're at, and whether you think you can take that risk. 3 weeks is really not that long of a time to try and get through if you do have legitimate cover. I think that's going to be the deciding factor.
Yeah. No, I'm with you as well. I think the cover, that's true, but I wouldn't mind, I guess, I wouldn't use two, leaving myself completely thin and not having any cover for the rest of the season, because you're asking for trouble. But let's say that you have the two trades, or you have the cash with one trade to get anybody in the game. Is Sicily your number one trade-in choice?
It's probably Bont ahead of him. But like the players that are ahead of someone like Sicily are already the common denominators, you know what I mean? Like the Bonts and that kind of stuff. So I'm sort of thinking in terms of the fact that a lot of people probably traded Sicily out, and so it's going to make him relatively unique in that aspect. And just a lot of people are going to have Dacos in defense as well, which I think also plays into it. I think, is there anyone more expensive there? I think there's English and Gorn that are probably more expensive, but it's hard to link either one of those as to, to bring him in for Dacos.
I think so too.
I think that's probably it. Maybe a Liberatore if you wanted a unique midfielder or something like that, because he is consistently going under the radar and was an awesome VC. For those that took JB's VC advice, including a lot of my head-to-heads this week.
I mean, he's got a huge, 143 round average, 128 five round average. But I've got concerns with getting in Liberatore or Clayton Oliver as options, because we're going to see the Finn McGuinness tag. I imagine he'll go to Libba this week, I'm guessing. He might go to Treloar, who is an option that we'll talk about as well for a single trade option. But I think Libba's the most likely candidate. So I would, in that case, completely stay away from Libba. Same way as I would completely stay away from Oliver, because I would be expecting Oliver to get the Finn tag next week. And there's only 3 weeks left, right? So you're just playing the fixtures at this point. You're making sure that they have the high scoring potential and you're playing the fixtures. And to me, I think the players with the good fixtures, you've got your Sicilies. I think still your Petrarca is always going to be a good bet. I don't think Finn can tag him when he moves forward. I still think like someone like LDU can also be really good, but it's hard to go at the moment past the form of Luke Jackson, Chizo. He's scored 173, so to say that he's like scoring well is an understatement. He's got the ceiling. He plays BJ Williams, who did get off his suspension, but that's not much of a ruck matchup. And then next week, the Scott Lysett-less Port Adelaide, which means he potentially has back-to-back mammoth scores incoming. The last round is against Ned Reeves, but it's at the MCG and Luke Jackson's much more mobile, so I would still expect maybe not a big score, but close to the ton. I think you could get three really good scores out of him, especially with a one trade scenario. He's probably my number one trade scenario, and I think Sicily is probably my number one two trade scenario.
Yeah. Can I challenge the well, first of all, he's not going to tag Oliver because he's not going to play ever again in his career if we're going by
his name this week. They've announced it. He's going to be playing.
No, I don't believe it. They've named him six times already.
That's true.
Let's go through the last 5 weeks. So GWS, he tagged Kelly. So dynamic midfielder, super taggable, has always been taggable. Totally get it. Round 18, tagged Taron Thomas and Sheasel. So sort of like halfback players. Then Richmond, he played a forward tag on Daniel Riolis, another halfback player-y kind of player. Then he played St Kilda and tagged Sinclair and Wood, which is like wing halfback type player. And then Collingwood, he tagged Dacos, which is like he'll keep his DPP next year. He's like
but he was playing in the midfield.
So he's suddenly going to tag Oliver or Libba, who are notoriously untaggable, and play entirely inside mid.
Absolutely. That's the most damaging players.
I am not seeing it.
I mean, look, Dacos had 30% CBAs, which was, I believe, to that point, every CBA. He was playing full-time mid. So that's not a backman. That's just trying to suit the narrative of the halfbacks. The most taggable player and the most important player to tag in the Bulldogs team is definitely Liberatore. I mean, I don't think they're going to waste a tag on Bailey Dale off the halfback line. But Libba is the cog that makes all the other pieces turn. If you're going to run a tag, it's going to be Libba, in my opinion, because he's too small to go to Bont. So
I understand, I'm just saying that guarantee. Seven out of his eight tags this season, not including his preseason tag, were on players that were nothing like. Six of the eight were nothing like midfielders. So he tagged Merritt, sort of a dynamic mid.
Yeah, that's good.
Then Kelly, dynamic mid.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely, like, neither of those are synonymous with the type of player that Libba or Clayton Oliver are.
I mean,
so it's like you're predicting
not far from
a completely different style of player tag.
No, but Zeret at the time is a midfielder, and there weren't that many.
Oh, playing in the midfield is different to being like literally the guy that's like scraping his face on the grass trying to get the first touch of the ball.
I mean, as far as I recall in that game, I think, not round one are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long
That's when he tagged Merritt.
That was a long time ago. But you've got to think the teams that he's only returned into the side in the last couple of weeks. But it's not like
as a tagger.
But there's not been, you can only tag the players that are in front of you, right? Like he's been tagging the most, I guess, dangerous players in those respective teams. The players that I would expect to be tagged. And the next
you're telling me that Libba is the most dangerous player in that team after I watched it with my own
the
eyes.
The way to beat the Bulldogs in past historically has been to tag Libba Torre. That's how you get on top of them because he's the clearance king.
I think you're crazy. I'm thinking a cancer council bet is on the cards.
What? I think you don't watch enough Bulldogs games.
Mate, I watched it with my own eyes.
I'm thinking of glasses.
I do have glasses. Actually, we had a lovely discussion about how bad our eyes are.
I need glasses, I think, too.
We had fun from the hotel room trying to read the names on buildings. And JB was like, read that one. I'm like, I've got no idea. He's like, read that one. I've got no idea.
Oh, my gosh. And Clayton Oliver, I believe, is a halfback flanker, if we believe the preseason. So it all lines up, Cheezo.
Yeah, true. He did play. Oh, geez, I can't wait for that Twitter account to give us a we should have known that he was going to play halfback after that one quarter he played in the preseason.
I'm looking forward to Oliver DPP. You know, when he plays all these games off halfback for the rest of the season, and just picks up DPP for next year.
Hey, quick maths in your head. If he plays 100% halfback for the remaining three games, is he in cooey of making 35%?
He absolutely will because they'll make finals and he'll obviously play halfback through finals and it counts. So we can lock in Dacos and Oliver as our D1 and D2 next year.
Yeah. So just in sum, like if you've got cover, two trades, if you don't have a whole grade of cover, you're going to use one trade. Let's say we're filtering by, say, 600K. Let's say you got 20K just kind of left over from a previous trade.
Ooh.
And we're looking for some sort of singular sideways trades. Are there any names that sort of jump out ahead of the pack that might have a good final 3 weeks, like a really good run home?
Yeah, so I guess the I shouldn't say the only names I would consider, but I'd only look at a very small you know, a few names here, and that's really Luke Jackson. All these players I don't really own. Darcy Parrish, Zach Butters, Adam Treloar, and Nick Newman. I think they're the guys that most people are picking from sub 600K or the one trade type players. I think all of them have their pros and cons. I mean, the midfielders kind of speak for themselves. They all have really high ceilings. They're all in very good form, and then you've got a mixture of fixtures, but majority of those teams have really good fixtures. That's why I'm suggesting them. The only outlier to that is really Nick Newman, who is playing as a defender, but he's kind of got the Doherty role at the moment while Doherty plays in the midfield with Walsh and Chera out. It's now Doherty's moved more in the midfield and Nick Newman has become the distributor off the half back. So he's got a five-round average of 118, which we know is enormous, and it's not a fluke. Like he, at this stage, because of the injuries in their side, it's sustainable. And if Walsh only makes his way back in round 23, I'm expecting Newman to still have good scores for the next couple of weeks. I mean, he's probably last out of all of those names that I said. And I think he's probably the best defender pick out of the lot of defenders specifically below 600K, if you're looking in like forced into a defender. But if you've got that DPP switcheroonus, I think you can pretty much get Dacos to anyone in the game at this point. I think most people, there's just one. Chizo, there's a couple of really important points, like super important points. One, if you're doing this switcheroos, make sure that you don't leave yourself on a line with no cover, like yeah. none. I think people play around with their sides. You know, they might have cover in two of the three lines, but one guy can cover both lines, and they do all these switcheroos in the DPP, and they end up in a situation where they just have either two guys in the same line covering the same players or two guys in.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The same line, but one guy can cover another line, but then you're only covering two out of three. I don't like that situation. Don't get stuck where you could potentially cop a zero. That feels bad. That just means pick a different trading option. And number two, the part that gets me the most, Chizo, and the part that I'm most upset about, probably the most upset at Supercoach that I've ever been, it's a big call, is that Supercoach is pretty much pay to win at this point in time. And that's purely due... Yep.
I was talking about that on the weekend, actually.
Purely due to the Optimize feature that has been enabled for the Supercoach Plus members. So for those that aren't Supercoach Plus members, what it allows you to do is when you have zero trades, you wait until the teams are named on the Thursday and your teams get little green dots, right, on the players' names. Now, you might have Dacos stuck in your back line and you don't have trades and you can't do a three-way DPP switcheroo. You can't, you know, get Sheasel into your back line and cover. But if you have Supercoach Plus, you can press the Optimize button and it will switch your players around and make sure you get your 22 that if you can field 22 using the DPP, it will get all of them onto the field for you. But you won't have any way of, you know, you couldn't do that yourself manually because you had no trades.
You can't do it manually. Yeah, that's right.
So
you have to pay for it to be able to have access to that, essentially, is what we're saying. And let's be clear, this is something that needs to be coded into the game. The fact that that doesn't exist and doesn't have this functionality is actually ridiculous.
Everyone's been talking about it for a long time, but I think the fact that this year it's the Optimized feature is behind a paywall, and this actually can impact who wins the game and who doesn't.
Yeah.
This leaves a really bad taste in my mouth, like a really bad taste. This game's meant to be, you know, the greatest football game on earth, and, you know, everyone's welcome to play. Anyone's welcome to win. I mean, you might win if you're not a Supercoach Plus member, but you're more likely to win if you are because you got access to Optimize, which might save you a donut or two donuts down the line, depending on how this plays out for the rest of the season. And specifically with Nick Dacos, who is in, you know, 99% of top teams.
Yeah.
Someone who's not a paid member now is copying a zero that doesn't need to, but has to because they're not a Supercoach Plus member. And they got to sign up for the last three rounds to be able to use the Optimize button. I mean, that's rough. Just open it up to everyone at this stage of the season. Like, it's just a bad decision that needs to be fixed in the off season. It's not fun. It doesn't feel like in the spirit of Australia's greatest game. Like, it, yeah, I'm very upset about it, Chizo.
Yeah, I genuinely had this conversation with a top 100 coach at the meetup, and I had no idea and was like, oh, well, I better sign up for the last 3 weeks of the season to get access to it because I'm out of trades. I was like, yeah, like literally your top 100, you absolutely should. there's no way around it. I was actually hoping that you were going to pause on Doherty Newman scenario there, because I remember, like, it may have been like 2017 or something like that, and Newman was a hot commodity because he had this exact role. He's made a name for himself without being able to score when he has that role, and with Doherty moving forward with their midfield sort of woes, the likelihood of him continuing with is going to be great. I still think that you should be picking the safer commodities with those, you know, three rounds to go pistol.
Yeah.
I know Parrish has North this weekend and he had 119. I don't see him doing crazy numbers like he's done in the past, but he should finish quite well. Obviously, the same goes for Merritt as well, unless he cops attention. But I think Parrish's price is a little bit more friendly. Is there any thoughts to any defenders? I know we've sort of named so maybe a Luke Ryan, you could get 587k, 111 for the year, 116 in his five round average. I know he only had an 88 on the weekend. Is he any thoughts?
Yeah, Luke Ryan's great, and I think he is a safe bet as well. I just think I don't know if he's necessary. I just think Newman's got more upside in this current role.
Yeah.
So I may as well take.
Do you want a high variance player?
I don't necessarily need a high variance if they've got a really low floor. I just don't think Newman is a main distributor off the back line, which is his current role, is going to be a really low floor. Angus Brayshaw, I'm pretty sure is just going to go 90s every week. But that doesn't really do it for me. I think Luke Ryan at least has potential to go 110 across the last three, and Newman's got potential to do more. I mean, Doherty himself, if you don't own him, could be, you know, a really good pick playing out of the midfield. But I get a bit scared because, you know, Doherty, the midfielder, could drop some 80s. It's not Doherty, the defender. I think, safe, but with a nice ceiling is probably the way to go. That you could be completely wild. If you wanted to go absolutely crazy here, there's some wild picks that you could get. I'm just thinking of the people that are going to trade in Shannon Hearn for his last 3 weeks, or Jay-Z. I mean, Jay-Z's averaged 101 outside of his sub games.
Yeah,
He's by no means.
And Clarko's back, and he's got his halfback role again.
He's got a halfback role. He plays Essendon, who give up huge defensive numbers. Richmond,
we just give up huge numbers.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Richmond and Gold Coast. He's got great fixtures. I mean, he could score. And no one's picking JC now. So there's some completely wild picks that you could do. I mean, it's hard for me to actively recommend them over all of the good options. But if you're having a fun, if you want to, I don't know, just have fun with it, I guess that's an option.
Can I ask your opinion on Luke Jackson? Are we all getting, you know, chase the car syndrome? He's had a brilliant 173 game rucking solo, but he's not exactly shot the lights out in the previous week or so where he was also rucking solo.
Yeah. I mean, it's based on opponent, right? So, that's the thing. Mm. It's mostly right now, I don't care that much about how they've gone for the entire season. As long as they're in the same realm of other options. For example, if I'm looking at my, just filtering by ruck, but I should be filtering by midfielders. If I'm looking at, that's slowing down my computer, Treloar versus, Treloar was a bad example because he's doing really well. if I'm looking at Tom Green versus Treloar, for example, they got similar average over the season, but I'm looking at the person with much easier fixtures. They're still a terrible example in the end. You can pick up somebody that has a lower average like Jackson, but has really strong fixtures and form, and that to carry only 3 weeks. It's not like you need them for 20 weeks to try and uphold this momentum. It's only 3 weeks, and one of them is against Port Adelaide, who don't have a ruck, which is a very, very similar situation that he just had when he scored 173 against Fort. And then Bailey Williams has leaked, I think, the second most Supercoach points to anyone the whole year. In his ruck line. I think West Coast they're the second easiest team to score against in the ruck. So we've got that situation coming into a Lycett. I mean, I'd be surprised if he put out back-to-back 80s in those fixtures.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm just more talking about the expectations that we should expect from Jackson. The last four games that he's played, he's played four games since the bye without Darcy. He went 119, 118, 187, and then he went 173. So he's averaging 106 from his previous four games without Darcy.
That's great.
Post bye, which I agree is absolutely fantastic. I just don't want to get into the syndrome of I could afford Sicily, but I reckon Jackson's going to outscore him. Whereas I personally don't. I think the likelihood that Sicily outscores Jackson is like 65-35.
I'd say it's higher.
Yeah, you think it's higher? You think it's even greater than 65% chance?
Yeah.
Sicily outscores Jackson.
Yeah, I like Sicily a lot.
Yeah, and that's sort of my point. Like, he scored 173 last week. He's now playing Eagles. I know Bailey Williams isn't suspended. Port don't have a ruck, and Hawthorn are notoriously good at restricting opponent ruckman scores. We've seen that all year.
Yes.
I don't want someone to pick him up over the likes of any of the absolute gun mids or Sicily or someone like that and leave themselves disappointed because they're just looking at that 173 and not going, do I genuinely believe he's going to outscore X, Y, and Z? Okay, I do. I'm picking him on the knowledge that I'm taking a punt to say that he's going to score better.
Yeah. Chizo, I got another question that I've been thinking about.
Cool.
And it's related to what you just said. So.
Yep.
Let's just say in my make-believe world, I have multiple trades to deal with multiple issues in my team.
It is make-believe.
It is. Because I've got Dacos.
Pistol land.
And there's been some news today from the GWS camp that they said Briggs is looking a little tired and we might just get some help in there. You know, we'll bring in a second supportive ruck. Flinney's up for the job. I think we might tandem ruck. Don't know if it's going to be this week. Probably is, but it might not be. But it's coming.
Not Chizo predicting this 3 weeks ago.
And then you've also got from the Melbourne camp, Petty's out, and they say, well, we've got a ready-made forward. His name's Brody Grundy, and he's going to probably come into the side. If
you said ready-made forward.
Yeah, ready-made forward. That's what they've said.
Oh.
So he's coming in as a ready-made forward. So
yep.
Now you've got Gorn sharing a ruck, and now, well, potentially, and then potentially you've also got Briggs sharing a ruck. Which,
yeah, not good.
If you had trades remaining, would you preemptively trade Briggs or Gorn out potentially for someone like Jackson? Or I guess in that situation, if you've got Gorn, someone like English.
Yeah, it's really tough, isn't it? I can't give definitive answer on this. I think the likelihood that some I think the likelihood that someone is dealing with Dacos in addition this week, are you getting rid of Dacos and Gorn or slash Briggs in 1 week and going to zero trades? I think I would stick to moving Dacos and holding one trade.
Yeah.
If by some miracle you're in the 0.1% chance that you don't have Dacos, I mean, I still don't know if I'd do it.
What if you could do?
I still don't know.
Like Dacos to Jay-Z, and then you could do Briggs to Tim English or something.
Say that again for Big Cheese.
What if you downgraded Dacos all the way to somebody like Jay-Z, and then because you had now this extra cash, you could afford to do a Briggs to English type move?
It sounds like swapping one problem.
It
for
does,
another.
Doesn't it? It sounds awful.
I think the likelihood. So he's in 99.6% of the top 5K teams, which I imagine is the majority of people listening. I think the fact that there's maybe one or two people listening to this episode that are not having to deal with Dacos, and I think that Dacos needs to take precedent for me personally or take priority. If you have more than two trades, I think I would entertain something like that. I would. We've seen with winners in the past where they have got the information and they've moved ahead of time and predicted something and then and doing the trade that you're speaking of. Absolutely, I agree. I just don't think if you've got two trades or you can bench Dacos for someone and use that trade in your ruck line, I'm not sure I'm doing that. I still think I'm prioritizing getting Dacos, like not having Chesser come on field and being able to get Dacos to someone else over maybe Gorn's going to be impacted by Grundy playing forward. I mean, Grundy plays completely as a forward and Gorn continues rucking is probably what you'd predict based on what's happening. So I'd be less scared for Gorn owners and a little more scared for Briggs just because with finals on the horizon for them as well, if they finish the season well, they don't really want Briggs to be entirely cooked going into the finals. I don't think they're going to be playing two ruckmen come finals either to try and deal with the fitness. So I think over the next three rounds, him getting a larger chop out in ruck is more likely to happen than Gorn being impacted. So in that scenario, you've got three trades, you've got Briggs, you don't have one of the other ruckmen. I can absolutely see that happening. Gorn, I probably wouldn't worry about it. And if you've got two trades or less, I'm probably still not doing it.
Okay, well, if you have three trades and your trade boost left. No, I'm just kidding.
Use all three trades in 1 week. Go for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I'd be holding Gorn in that current form and just if I'm... Yeah. I mean, if Flynn is named this week, we'll know if he's named alongside Briggs. And I think there's merit to doing the look traction trade because one of the fixtures you want to take advantage of is this West Coast fixture. If you wait a week, you know, then one of the two fixtures for Jackson becomes Ned Reeves, which isn't as good. And also he prices you out most likely.
Mm.
Yeah. So kind of now or never move. It's just based on your risk tolerance. I think most people probably don't have amazing cover, so they would be... I'd be hesitant to use an extra trade there and just wait. I mean, chances are we cop an injury in the last 3 weeks and then you trade out. Instead of getting a rookie on your field, you get a premium in your field. Boom, you made back 50 points, which Jackson might make outscoring Briggs over the last 3 weeks. But I don't think that's my best use strategically of a trade. But it still might work out, but I don't think that's my number one option. But I thought we at least would need to have a quick discussion on that one, Chizo.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And to put it plainly, like Kingsley's quote wasn't necessarily Briggs is cooked. I think, as you said, teams are going to be a big descriptor of what to expect, particularly who's named on field, etc. And the key point was he needs a bit of relief and Braden Pruce could potentially be that person and Flinney too. So it's like... There's not even, it's classic GWS.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Like, we might do this, we might not. Something may happen, something might not happen. It's I think if, let's say, Briggs is named in a forward line and Pruce or Flinney named R1, I could absolutely see a world where we go Briggs to Jackson and be happy. I don't think Briggs is going to outscore Jackson. Or it's going to be very, very close if they're playing head-to-head as a ruck. So I don't think you're going to be losing out. Sometimes, you know, maybe that chance, you're taking the chance that Briggs is going to get a solid rest and Jackson is going to pick up and go at that 100-plus average. So I'd love to be able to sit here, Pistol, and say this is what you should do. But again, our podcast is trying to educate people on how to make their own informed and educated choices and decisions. And I hope by running through all the different aspects of that, it's going to help everyone in that situation.
Great. Well... That's it for me, Cheese. I'm not sure if you had anything else that you wanted to talk about.
No, not a whole lot in terms of Supercoach content. So I hope those couple of topics that we did deep dive into were enjoyable. Pistol, thanks once again for sitting down with me. It's sad knowing I won't see you for probably another 12 months.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that yet. Oh, now I'm sad. Way to end the podcast. No.
Sorry, mate. I'll put like the Titanic recorder music in the background.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's a good fine to send off.
Guys, thanks so much for listening and supporting us during the season. Hope you're still enjoying it. Hope you're going well in the Supercoach finals. We'll chat to you all in the next Dr. Supercoach appointment.
Hold up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.